So that's Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you for the wonderful truths in it, Lord, that change our lives and bring us closer to you. Father, we pray that as we study it and we meditate on it, that we would understand it, Lord, that it would help us to get a bigger picture of what you're trying to do in our lives, Lord, and what you intend for the church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord Jesus was referring in these verses to the means of obtaining salvation, the passageway to eternal rest in paradise. He is illustrating the exclusivity of the gospel message. The way referred to is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We'll find that in John 14:6. This is the Lord Jesus referring to himself. If you'll turn with me there. A well-known verse. That's John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. By contrast, the broad way, the way of destruction leading down to hell, is not narrow but broad, because a person can follow any religion of their choosing, any lifestyle at all that doesn't include the true Christ. So you've got your pick of any other alternative. Yet the destination will always be the same that way. Again, we see this reiterated in Luke 13:24 with different phrasing. So that's Luke 13:24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. The word strive in the Greek vividly describes how one enters the kingdom of heaven. Agonizo. One must agonize over it. Not in the sense of works, but there must be real concern and agony over the way we have chosen. Is it the right way? The truth of the doctrine we adhere to must be closely examined, agonized over, to confirm we have not deviated onto the broad way. This can be done by heeding the word of God and checking our own beliefs against it continually. Now, in all matters of doctrine, I know I am not 100% right. I am frequently wrong in many things, and to claim perfect doctrine is to claim complete sanctification, which I know I don't have. That is what the word does to us gradually, after all. So, John 17:17. I can turn there quickly. Sanctify them through thy word is truth. But I have assurance that in essential doctrine, my beliefs are consistent with what the Bible says. They have to be, or I know my faith is vain. There is a lot of biblical doctrine that is difficult to accept. Because of our sin, we are slow to accept them, and thereby accuse ourselves. Therein for the sinner lies a difficulty, the chief difficulty in believing the gospel. It goes entirely against what we spend our whole lives reiterating in our own minds. That we are good people, that we can work our way into heaven, and that we have sovereignty over our own existence. That we weren't created by a benevolent yet holy and just God, who we have to answer to someday. This sin of denial is chiefly comprised of pride. Pride is the sin I'm most offended by when I encounter it in myself, in light of the scriptures, for the simple fact it excuses all my other sins. The sin of pride would keep me from acknowledging a host of other transgressions before God. It is a ball and chain that hobbles our sanctification. It is the chief enemy of repentance. Pride would scorn the accusations of Scripture designed to humble a sinner to seek forgiveness. We'll see an example of that illustrated in Luke 18:10. This is the parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. comparing two different attitudes. That's Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Pride tells us we are already perfect, that we don't need to change. Scripture tells us we need to change, to grow in holiness. Paul instructs us this in Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We are to work out our salvation, make manifest that which Christ has already completed within us, not with proud self-aggrandizement, but with fear and trembling. So what does this mean? It means every time we pick up the Bible to read, we should do so with a submissive attitude. We should do so with an open mind, ready to receive revelation, submitting first to what the text actually says in its simplest, plainest, and most literal sense. Not endeavoring to conform the word to any agenda of our own, but rather agreeing to be changed by the word. Ephesians 4:22-24, just a few pages back. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's evident in churches where the exposition of Scripture is not a priority, that man-made traditions have free rein to flourish. Pastor James once remarked that the flesh is very religious. Flesh loves religion. So it is. Pagan cultures are filled with rituals. The need to do something is tantamount to spirituality or religious zeal. I know of one very old institution, it's been around for quite some time, that is chock-a-block full of traditions, lots of smells and bells. It's the same church referred to in Revelation, the church that deceives the whole world. Tradition is something we ought to be wary of. It was characteristic of the Pharisees to substitute it for real worship, as we see in Mark 7:7-13. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honour thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. It is our duty to question practices to discern if they are consistent with biblical doctrine. We are not the blind leading the blind. We are a flock of sheep which look to our Savior and Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing wrong with examining the practices of the church to see if they are simply being taken for granted. If they are legitimate, they will stand against any scrutiny when compared with the Word. If not, then the motivation for holding to such traditions is dubious. Apathy about religious routine is dangerous to the church because it demonstrates the preference for worldly things over the spiritual things given to us of God. We'll finish in 1 Corinthians 2, 12 to 13. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for good doctrine. Lord, we thank you that Coastline Baptist Church has doctrine, Lord, that we can compare with your word, Father, and we know that we're on the right path. Lord, we pray that you keep us strictly in your word, Lord, that we don't substitute any man-made doctrines, Lord, thinking that we're mightier than what your word tells us to do, Lord, which gives us freedom, Father. And we pray that we would continue to meditate on your word, and that each time we gather here, Lord, that we would be prepared to be taught out of its truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.